Romans chapter 5. Just a couple of things I want to finish up from Sunday. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that one verse of scripture we've used for springboard to try to share some things with you that being saved from, by what? Let's stand, please. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I don't care how many times you read that verse, it's still precious. Much more. Not just some, but much more. Then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Father, I pray you'd seal the words to our hearts. And then tonight, Lord, help me to review quickly. And then I pray for those things that you have laid on our hearts to finish up in this message. You'd help us to do so tonight. I pray for a touch of God. I pray the Holy Spirit give us leadership and guidance and direction and help us. And then, Lord, tonight, I pray for those who are in this service. There's people here tonight that need to get saved, folk that need to let you have your way in their hearts, their lives, individuals that need encouragement, strength. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for that divine touch of God to help us as we endeavor to preach. And I pray, God, you have your way, magnify yourself. Jesus Christ be exalted in his name and for his glory, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We talked about saved from what, by what, because many times people ask you, if you ask them if they're saved, they'll say, I've been saved from a car wreck, from death, or I've been saved from this or that. But we mean being born again, being regenerated. And I'm glad, thank God, you can be saved from by being born again, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. First thing I talked about was wrath by his blood, and we talked about the blood. Now, you can't get anything better subject than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's precious. There's power in the blood. And I say hallelujah. I appreciate the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I'm glad, thank God, we have that in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Turn with me, please, in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 21. We talked about baptism, being saved from a bad conscience by baptism. And we baptized Sunday night, and what a joy that was. And appreciate God's blessings that people wanted to follow the Lord in baptism because they've been saved, and thank God for that. Verse 21, the like figure, and I pointed that out to you, and I want everybody, somebody maybe here wasn't here then, the like figure, he's showing a picture. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's saying not that water saves, but it's that picture of the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus that does us saving. And that even mentions the resurrection of Jesus here. Every time somebody's baptized, it pictures death, burial, resurrection. For the Jesus Christ and also for the individual that's being baptized. And so I appreciate God's figure that he gives us in that. And then we talked about not being defeated from sin and corruption and lies after we are saved by the Spirit of God and by the Scriptures. I'm glad for both. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And then he gives us the Scriptures in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And the devil is always trying to either take people and keep them away from Jesus. By the way, if you're unsaved tonight, I want you to know the devil's program tonight is to keep you away from Jesus. His dear brother from Kenya sang about Jesus, said he wasn't ashamed of Jesus. I want to say tonight, thank God I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you ought not be ashamed of him, but he went to Calvary for you, died in shame. He was stripped of his clothing and hung up in shame on the cross, but he did it because he loved you. He could have spoke the world out of existence. He could have said, there'd be no more world, and there wouldn't have been any world. He could have walked down off the cross if he wanted to. He did that because he loved you and me, and I thank God for it. Amen. And we can have victory in our lives after we are saved. We can have that victory. I realize these times we get tripped up. These times we fail God. These times we mess up. But aren't you glad? Thank God in Jesus Christ there is victory. He is the victory. We are on the winning side. And I praise God for that. Then we talked about we're saved from being a baby but growing up. Hung in there a few minutes on that one. Amen. But saved from being a baby but growing up. God said we all desire sincere milk of the word, 1 Peter 2:2. I say hallelujah. And the baby drinks that milk and grows thereby. People get saved, need the milk of the word, and grow thereby. But we ought to grow as a Christian and not grow into being a Christian, but grow as a Christian and grow and be mature and grow up. And babies, they take milk and then they crawl, and after a while they start walking and then running, and then they'll start talking, and we spend the first few years trying to get them to walk and then talk. Spend the rest of our lives trying to get them set down and hush up. But anyway, that's the way it goes. But if a Christian, I'm glad, thank God, we don't have to shut up as a Christian, amen, nor be quiet about being a Christian. But we need to grow up and learn to walk as a Christian. Need to run like a Christian, need to talk like a Christian, need to be able to, amen? But God enables us to do that. Without him, we can do nothing. And so then we talked about being saved from untrustworthiness by the grace of God and controlling the tongue, the flesh, by trustworthiness, cleanness of speech, bringing our speech in control. Look in James chapter number 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. He's saying if we can't control our own tongue, in chapter 3, he goes into a whole lot about the tongue. And I say to you tonight, we need to bring the tongue under subjection to the Holy Spirit of God and let God lead us in our talk. We can talk about Jesus. He's talking about witnessing for Jesus and runs a radio station, Christian radio station in Kenya. He witnesses to Muslims and Hindus and whoever else is there. And I'm glad, praise God, we have a tongue that we can use for the glory of God. And we can sing for his glory. Well, some can sing. Rest of us, we enjoy the singing. But we can talk about Jesus. We can say Jesus. That's the sweetest word ever said anyway. Jesus, how precious that word is. I say thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ and using our tongues for that. But tonight, I want to give you two other things real quickly and close out this message we started on Sunday. Saved from what? By what? And I am glad I'm saved from hell, and I'm glad for that, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let me say this. We're saved from tribulation by the rapture of the church. You say, preacher, do you really believe that we'll be raptured out? We're seeing so much happen today and having floods and storms and things are coming. Aren't we already in tribulation? Oh, no. We're not in tribulation yet because we're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed unto salvation by Jesus Christ. And when God pours his wrath out, that's after the church is gone. In Revelation chapter 1 is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John sees him. And then in chapters 2 and 3, he talks about seven churches. That's seven church ages. If you study church history, you'll find each church had a characteristic of a church age. Then in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrew, book of Revelation, you'll find that John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, verse number 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. I say, hallelujah, what a picture of the rapture. It does not happen till after the church age is completed. And tonight could be the night that last one will be saved and the church completed. Ain't not going to be an incomplete bride. When Jesus comes, he's coming after a bride completed. And when that bride completed, we're leaving out of here and going on to glory with him. The rapture shall take place. What is a rapture, preacher? The rapture is when Jesus comes in the air and we're caught up with the dead in Christ in the clouds and meet him in the air. I'm glad I'm saved and I'm glad I'm pre-tribulationist. Amen. I'm pre-millennial, pre-trib, pre-everything. I just believe, praise God, that it's what the Bible teaches us. When a tribulation comes, it's a time God begins to deal again with Israel as a nation and begins to send judgment upon this world. And you and I that are saved, thank God, we're going to be gone. There's an old song they used to sing up in the hills where I come from. When the tribulation comes, I'll be gone. Amen. When the tribulation begins, I'll be gone. I'm glad, thank God, I'll be gone when tribulation time starts. And God, he'll heat up the sun and a moon will not shine and stars will fall and men will hide in caves and they'll cry for rocks to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. There's going to be a whole lot of people that's laughed about the rapture that's going to be hiding in those days and crying for mercy and trying to find some help. But the Bible says if they've heard the truth and would not believe it, that God would turn them over to reprobate mind and let them believe a lie, that they might be damned because they would not believe the truth. You say, preacher, I get saved if the church raptures out tonight. I'd be saved just as quick as I could. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't, because you're here, you've heard the gospel, you're hearing the gospel, have an opportunity to be saved. If you will not accept Christ and trust him now, when the rapture takes place, God will let you believe a lie. You'll follow the Antichrist. You'll take the mark. You'll do whatever and try to survive. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad I'm saved and I'm going in the rapture. When the rapture comes, I'm getting out of here. Amen. And this old world's a bad, looking bad every way you look at it. And it looks like it's setting up. And somebody said, getting to be a small world. Yeah, getting ready for the Antichrist. But we're going to be getting out of here just any day now. We're leaving out. I was thinking about it. I may be preaching my last message. It may be the last time we assemble in the house of God. Who knows? Jesus may come tonight. Hallelujah. What a time, what a time. You're talking about a jubilee and talking about a homecoming and a camp meeting. We'll have it when Jesus comes and we head out of here. You say, preacher, I've heard that all my life. That's what the Bible said. In the last day, they come mockers. I'm mocking about it, saying, I've been hearing it all my life. It hadn't happened yet. Well, sure, it hadn't happened yet because the church is still here. But it will happen. It will happen. And there's no question about that. And you and I that are saved, we need to let others know that Jesus is coming back. And he is coming. And there's a whole lot of people today getting interested in what's going to happen in our world. You know, is the world going to end? Is it going to burn up? What's going to happen? Is things going to get so out of hand nobody can control it? Is one day the atomic missiles going to start, bombs going to start flying from one country to another? What's going to happen to Iran? What's going to happen? All of this stuff you hear on the news today. Let me say this. God has it all under control. And there's nothing going to happen to the church till the church gets out of here. Now, we may see some persecution. We may see some times that the government tries to put certain things upon us that we don't want to have. But that may happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. But I'm saying this, before the full tribulation comes, we've got to get out. We've got to get out. I believe we're seeing a prelude to it. And it could get a lot worse. And then the prelude will be over. And it'll be the real thing. And we'll head out of here and go home and be with Jesus. I say, thank God. Saved from tribulation by the rapture. That's a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. Now, let me say this. Saved from the lake of fire by our names being written in the book of life. I want you to look with me, please, in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. There is a lake of fire. There's a place called hell. It's real. It's as real as heaven is. And folk go there. This is the great white throne judgment. I'm going to read all these verses just so we get the thought in our mind about the end judgment. And this is for unsaved. This is for those that have rejected Christ. Somebody said, I'll never bow to Jesus. You will one day. You will one day. Then there's been some folk who said, I'll say this to Jesus, and I'll say that to Jesus. I'll tell him about the hypocrites in church, and I'll tell him about this and did that to me, and that and did that. No, you won't. You won't say a thing except Jesus is Lord. The Bible says every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will say that. But verse number 11, Revelation 20. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Notice that, small and great. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now looking in Revelation chapter number 21, verse 27. Talking about the New Jerusalem. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the book of life is mentioned in chapter 20. The Lamb's book of life is mentioned here in chapter 21. And certainly the book of life, I believe the book of life has everybody's name in it. And everybody, until the end, that is, until they cross God's deadline, or God knows when everybody said the last no. God knows when it's over for that person. God knows that, and their name's blotted out. You remember Moses asked God to blot his name out of the book of life? God said he wouldn't blot his name out, but he went on to tell something that he would blot out. And so we're talking about blotting out. And now, don't y'all go out of here and say, I said everybody's saved, and I said every name was in the book of life, and God blots them out when they're not losing salvation. I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm talking about when they reject Christ, when they say no for the last time, and God blots their name out, they'll have no opportunity to ever be saved. They won't be found in the book of life at the end, the great white throne judgment. But the Lamb's book of life, I believe, is that book. It's when our names are written. That's not a good word, is it? When our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, that's when we get saved. Amen. I'm glad my name's in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad it's in the book of life. And I'm glad, thank God, it's in the Lamb's book of life. And I thank God tonight that day I got saved. I don't know. They didn't put it in the newspaper the next day. It didn't come out in any kind of program on the TV or radio or they didn't announce it anywhere that I know of, but I want you to know it made news in heaven. And I believe God said, write his name down. Put it in the Lamb's book of life. He's one of mine. And it will never be blotted out. Amen. And he will not blot it out. It is there forever and forever and forever. We're as good as landed in heaven already, although we're still on this side of eternity. I want you to know we're hid in Christ Jesus, and someday we're going to be with him forever and forever. I say glory, glory, glory. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? Aren't you glad your name's in the Lamb's book of life? Thank God it's written in glory. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Tonight, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want you to think seriously with me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. And if Jesus comes, I can't go in the rapture. Not only can I not go in the rapture, I'll be left here to suffer tribulation. Then when I do die, I'll go to hell. And then the great white throne judgment, I'm going to bow my knee to Jesus and confess he's Lord. And then I'm going to be cast in the lake of fire. Forever and forever. You say, preacher, is that what it's going to be? That's what the Word of God says. God is going to have the last say. God will get the glory and the honor and the praise. But you tonight, you could come to Jesus just by faith believing and come to trust him as your Lord and your Savior. You say, preacher, my life's messed up. I know one that can straighten it up, one that can help you. Why don't you let Jesus help you tonight? Let him do for you what he wants to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight the Holy Ghost, God, speak to hearts. Help folk to respond. Help them to come. Lord, in Jesus' name, they get saved, not be eternally lost. We'll thank you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.